feel the pain. And this is in particular an issue for the execution scheduled on Thursday and Friday for two prisoners who, according to their lawyers, have lung damage from COVID-19.
Isaac Arensdorf, we're going to link to your remarkable pieces at ProPublica. And Sister Helen Prejean, thank you so much, world-renowned anti-death penalty activist. That does it for our show. Remember, wearing a mask is an act of love. I'm Amy Goodman with One That's Ours.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute to 6 o'clock. And an announcement concerning the COVID-19 vaccine. New York State is currently in phase 1A and 1B. To find out what that means, we suggest going to the website suffolkcountyny.gov/vaccine. Also, you can call 833-NYS-4VAX. That's 833-697-4829. In order to make an appointment to get the COVID-19 vaccine. It's 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. Okay, we're going to have to come in pretty early tonight because we have so much to go over in the 1 hour that we have. And this is Manuel, and that's Kyle over there.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
We haven't talked in a while.
It's unreal.
Have you been watching the news? You know what's going on?
That's what I've been
doing. Okay, good.
What else have I been doing?
All right, so I don't have to explain it to you.
You?
Okay, yes, I have.
Right,
of course
I'm glad I checked. Okay, so we know we're talking.
Well, let me just say, this might be the last time we hear this theme. We're supposed to have two more weeks, but if they succeed in getting ODB out of there in the next week or so, what? Is that not the right way to refer? Old dirty bastard. What else would you call him? There is a chance that he could be gone next week. And if that's the case, as you know, for folks who aren't familiar with this, we have a different theme for every presidential term. So if in 2 weeks, that's guaranteed. Because guess what? Biden won the election. So there's a new... And we're narrowing it down. We're narrowing down the potential themes for the new era. I like the ones I've heard so far. We've got it down to around 20, so that's, we'll get something in the next 2 weeks. But if he's out next week, then we have to have a temporary theme for Pence, and I don't know what that's going to be like.
Oh, we've thought it through. That's still being worked on.
Are we still going with the Yoko Ono shrieks for 10 minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
And then in reverse, and then like a multi-voice version where there's like tons and thousands of them.
You know, I was once doing a show here on this radio station, and the person after me called in and said they weren't feeling well, and would I continue on for the next 2 hours? And I didn't want to do that, and I knew they were just, making excuses. So I said, look, I'm going to play Yoko Ono, and not the good melodic stuff. I'm going to play the shrieking raw stuff for the entire 2 hours, unless you get your ass down here. He was there in 15 minutes. He was there in 15 minutes. Nobody wants that.
People get motivated when they, are in on what programming will replace them.
And I love Yoko, too. I really do. But I do know what people respond to adversely. And, that's you have to weaponize music when you can. Okay, so, oh boy, what a week. Where do we begin? We all know what happened on Wednesday. We talked about this a week ago. I remember saying on this very airwave that I was worried about what was going to happen the next day, because Wednesday was the day after last week's show. And, of course, my worst fears were realized as... thousands of people stormed the Capitol at the behest of Trump, and we're learning more and more about this and how scary and how frightening it is. I mean, basically the guy set it up so that the National Guard would not be called in, so that the Capitol Police were completely overwhelmed. And, you know, at first I thought, and I still do to a degree, that the Capitol Police were helping a lot of these protesters, and there were a couple that were doing that. But for the most part, they were just overwhelmed. There were some people, some Capitol Police officers that really were heroic. Like the guy that that was leading the mob away from where, it's hard to say this, but where senators and congresspeople were hiding out of fear for what these people might do. And what those people might do, that's not imagination. I mean, can you imagine what that crowd would have done if they had found AOC in the hallway or Ilhan Omar? You know, it's scary to realize this is the country we're in now. But are we surprised? We've been warning people about this for years. Okay, here it is. It's now happening. Do you believe us now? I mean, it's something that we're not surprised by, but we are shocked by. Is that possible, to not be surprised but to be shocked? I think so many people have been feeling this sort of PTSD syndrome, you know? I've talked to a lot of my friends who are depressed.
I think that's also the stages of grief. There's a lot of mourning for the institution of democracy and the symbolism in a lot of what they saw.
Yeah. Mourning, but also, you know, we're fighting back.
Oh, yeah, anger.
And those symbols are coming to life. And we're kicking the asses of these people now because we're pissed, you know, and we're not going to take it. We've been taking it too much, I think, over the past few years. But I think now people really see it. And those of us who have been saying this for years know now that we've been right, but people who weren't so sure, I think now they're getting it. And I have to say, a lot of them are Republicans, and that's a good thing. I bear no ill will to people that were late to realizing this. I mean, tonight I'm hearing Mitch McConnell is saying how much he wants Trump purged from the Republican Party. And you know how I feel about Mitch McConnell, but for him to say that, okay, Mitch, I'm on board. I support that. I'm glad you finally get it. Maybe this is somebody that can be worked with to achieve something better, maybe, to a degree.
Well, it's definitely something to consider in the future, someone that has risen to the moment. Also, Liz Cheney. Calling on colleagues to treat the vote as a vote of conscience.
Just a few minutes ago, actually, Liz Cheney came out and said she would vote to impeach Trump for a second time, which, you know, I want more than that. I really want more than that. I want his ass kicked out.
That's you know? For the future, the redux, but rising to the moment is what's so important now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think everyone wants to remain focused on.
Hearing Mitt Romney on the floor last week on the Wednesday in question, really good words, good sentiments. And I respect him. I really do. Disagree with many, many things, but when people stand up like that, that's when it counts. So it's not about Democrats, Republicans. It's about people with conscience and people without. You know, people that aren't afraid of the mob. And unfortunately, there are so many examples of people who are afraid. People who don't speak to their conscience. People who simply look to getting reelected and look to their own fears, biases, hatreds. And we have to deal with that. We have to do something about this, or it will kill us. It will kill this country. Just today, and that might be the last time we hear that theme. If we hear the theme again next week, it means Trump is still in power. I hope we don't hear the theme again. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I really hope we don't.
Yeah, I'm ready for what's next.
We'll hear Screeching Yoko next week. So anyway, today, Trump threatened the nation even more. He's threatening the nation. I think people really are seeing that now. It's crazy to be saying that, but he's saying that an impeachment of him a second time, poses a tremendous danger to the United States. It poses a tremendous danger. What does that mean? That means his minions will be out again in force, causing all kinds of violence and chaos. And we'd better watch out and not piss him off anymore. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. This guy is still in power for another 8 days. He can do so much damage in that period of time, so much. And I'm not even talking about what he can do to the people around here. I'm talking about what he can do to the world, you know. And there's little doubt that the guy is unhinged, that he feels backed into a corner, that he's resentful and angry. And this is coming from his aides, people around him that are reporting this. So I'm not one for telling people they should be afraid, but this is a time to really be worried.
Yeah, I don't want to use people, kind of become people's imaginations. I think they can use their own imaginations. That feeds a certain sort of fear. But mm-hmm. All the signs are there, and, you know, we've been warned once, you know, we're not, I think, going to go back twice, lulled into some sort of comfort, not when the stakes are now this high.
We won't. I agree with you. We won't be lulled back into complacency, but you better look out for the enablers, because they're already rewriting history in so many ways. Basically, that wasn't us. That was Antifa that was rioting on the Capitol. It wasn't the MAGA people, even though they've been identified. Well, they've been playing the long game, because they've been MAGA supporters for years, the people that have been identified in the photos and videos, storming offices, vandalizing, causing terror, killing people. I cannot believe seeing cops being beaten with American flags, with the Blue Lives Matter flag. I mean, think about this. These are the people that go around waving that Blue Lives Matter ridiculous flag.
It's like black and white, and then it's got a blue stripe, so it's like the blue line.
But then
blue.
the second they don't get what they want, when this was beginning, the networks hadn't yet broken into it, so I was watching live streams and the equivalent. These demonstrators were screaming at the few police that were at the gate, calling them traitors. Saying they're, you know, we had your back, now it's your turn to have our back. And I've never seen such anger, and I've never seen such fear in the eyes of the cops. But you realize how hypocritical so many people in that Blue Lives Movement are, because it's not about the cops. It's about getting their way. And if the cops stand in their way, well, then you'll be beaten to death with a flag. At least one cop was. I can't believe this, but that is what happened. And it may surprise you, it shouldn't, but it's a fact that most Black Lives Matter protesters care about the cops more than these Blue Lives Matter idiots. Because what they're preaching is their way or no way. And what Black Lives Matter protesters are preaching is justice, is stop killing us. Little things like that. So, more threats, more plans of violence are being planned, apparently. Saw this last night. All 50 states are expecting armed protesters to surround their capitals. Yeah, even Hawaii. If you can believe that. FBI believes has credible evidence of a threat of violence on Sunday, specifically aimed at the Minnesota and Michigan state capitals by right-wing extremists, as as part of their preparation for armed protests in every state and Washington, D.C., leading up to President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration next week, a week from tomorrow. Now, that evidence is spelled out in an alert dated way back in December, December 29th. It was written by the FBI's Minneapolis division based on what it said was intelligence from two collaborative sources with direct access to vital information. The potential activity alert was first posted Monday by Yahoo News, verified on Tuesday as legitimate by a source who has seen the document. The report said that some followers of the violent Boogaloo movement attended protests in early December at the Minnesota State Capitol to identify escape points and defensible positions in the event violence occurred. Oh, really? Yeah, that's inappropriate. You know, I at least like that song. Ringo Starr, wow. He must be spinning in his grave. He really must be. I know he's alive, but he probably dug a grave, jumped into it, and is spinning right now, and hearing how that has... I mean, such a good song, too. Boogaloo members scouted general law enforcement presence at the earlier rallies. The report noted identified law enforcement numbers. They also identified law enforcement sniper locations, considered breaking into federal buildings for use as firing locations if fighting occurred. It's right here in the United States. That's what we're talking about. One movement member went so far as to say that the building with the snipers would need to be blown up in order to protect Boogaloo fighters in the event of a gun battle during the event. At least one follower expressed his willingness to die for the movement. It's so disgusting. And these Boogaloo people, they're not even pro-Trump people necessarily. They just are pro-chaos. There are so many that Trump has in his control that will march on his orders. This is Boogaloo nonsense. That's just something icing on the cake, I guess. So this next week is going to be very interesting, but it doesn't end there. These people aren't going anywhere. I mean, some are. I have to say, we know of certain locations where there are Trump flags and banners and signs on people's lawns. I've seen a few of them disappear in the last few days. Not because they were torn down, because the person who lived there said, no, that's not for me, that's not who I am. And you know what? Good for you. We have no ill feelings towards people who are late to the party and realize that, boy, that was bad. People make bad decisions all the time. And when you see the kinds of things that happened in Washington on Wednesday, and you instantly say, no, that is not who I am, as lots and lots of people did, in Congress, in the streets, then I applaud that. You know, I wish you hadn't gone along on the ride so long, but I applaud people who eventually do wake up.
I would also say that it, I think, took some time for it to be widely distributed to really build a larger picture of what occurred for many, many people in both that were on site, but also coming away from it and people witnessing it around the world. And, of course, the response by the legislative and other leadership. And so I think the PTSD thing for mm-hmm. people that were there covering it, too. I've several professional associations for photographers that have been sharing some of the stories of what it was like to cover, and it's been really traumatic for a lot of people. A lot of equipment and stuff was damaged, which really is meaningless compared to the lives that were at risk. But the point is, it's the kind of stuff that is going to take a while for people to sink in, and the people there, not making it any kind of excuse, but their sense coming away, they're probably still realizing the extent of the damage and their participation in something like that. But it's the people witnessing it now, because the act is been done, and so going forward, it's going to be really crucial to listen to one another and gauge how soon someone's learned about it. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had a couple phone calls already over the weekend where people didn't really say anything. They sounded a little bit disturbed and maybe didn't want to say they'd been paying attention, but I think it's and also had varying degrees of knowledge of what was going on, because the reporters were still trying to figure out what was going on. And
right.
Over the weekend, I think things became clearer, and now we're having actual statements from, like, DOJ and stuff like that about going forward, as well as what they're learning, what they've learned in the last week.
Okay, I'm seeing on TV now, GOP Representative Kinzinger says he'll vote for impeachment. So it's increasing. More and more Republicans are coming on board, which is a good thing to see. But what you were referring to, there's a video that I've seen of CNN reporters literally running for their lives. And this is something that I think everybody needs to see to realize what it was that they were up against. Equipment destroyed. You know, all kinds of acts of vandalism and violence against people that took place. They were basically just trying to get out of there and being surrounded by angry mobs that have been fed all this crap for the last several years about how reporters and the media are the enemy. And now people had a chance to act against them because CNN is the enemy of the people. Well, here they are. Beat the crap out of them. Maybe kill them. Whatever. You could see the fear. You could feel the fear. And there's one guy towards the end of the video, part of the mob, saying, "This is not us. Stop it. Stop hurting these people," and saying to the people, to the reporters, "You better get out of there, or you're going to get hurt." And to that person, great, good that you're trying to protect people. But when you say this is not us, and everybody around you is doing something like this, maybe it's not you, but it's definitely those people. You shouldn't be in that crowd then, because those people most definitely embrace this kind of violence, this kind of activity. That is just one example of so many of the ugliness that that we saw, and we're learning of so much more. It's traumatic.
One of the, like, part of that cognitive dissonance on display that really served the purpose of hiding the acts that occurred was shouting the press down and telling them to go away, notwithstanding the stupidity of recording your crime, which was pervasive throughout the event.
They thought it wasn't a crime.
Yeah, the sheer the environment of permissiveness around collecting evidence of yourselves
mm-hmm.
while committing crimes was eye-watering, to say the least. But beyond that, shouting down the media and trying to get people who, it's their job. They may not, they don't really, I never went to a Trump rally at all.
I'm shocked.
And not as a media practitioner, but I haven't talked to people who did cover it in the media, but I can't imagine it would have been an enjoyable experience on a regular day. And I think a lot of those rallies actually conditioned the media and the security.
You talk about from the media point of view would not have been enjoyable. Absolutely not.
And, you know, being excoriated or
even Fox
yelled at.
And
yeah.
Fox is getting it more than anybody now. You know? Because now they're seen, because they start to report news in a factual way, they're seen as betraying the cause. And they're replaced by all these other crazy news outlets like Newsmax and OAN, not real news outlets, but just propaganda arms.
Right. So it really will be important, I guess, mm-hmm. to support people who did their jobs and captured what was going on instead of being afraid. And I think it really just shows the importance of the media and how telling the story and being there to bear witness for the rest of the country and for history is harrowing, to say the least. I just am so proud that people made the effort and put their lives, you know, in danger.
I mean, this is a good moment, I think, for so many people in the media, for so many outlets that refused to be intimidated and reported what they were seeing and showed us and shared it with the world. And like you said, letters sent out to people describing what had happened and just basically reaching out. And I know you did a lot of reaching out to people, and people reached out to you as well. That's a good thing that comes out of traumatic experiences, that we kind of check in on each other. And that's necessary. That's essential. If you're feeling overwhelmed, depressed, traumatized, you're not alone, because we're all feeling that right now. And that's kind of odd, maybe, because I feel like we're winning. I mean, remember, a week ago we were talking about the election in Georgia. Hey, both seats were won by Democrats because of Trump's antics, basically keeping Republicans from voting, but also because of a tremendous turnout in Georgia, specifically the African-American community. These are great things. These are inspirational moments. We should be celebrating because, yeah, we are changing the country and moving it into a better place. But still, despite that, despite the true colors of Trump and his ilk being seen, exposed, and dealt with, we still feel like it's too much. And you might wonder, why is that? We're winning. We should be happy. I don't have the answer. This is how I feel. You know, it's a lot to deal with. I suppose maybe people who are in parts of the world where this kind of thing happens more often, maybe you could add some insight to this. But for us here in America, it's not what we used to. It's not normal.
Yeah, that sharing and listening to people, I think, is really helpful for those that are not really caught up, or maybe weren't following as much of the kind of news diet that would help them be prepared for the levels and that to which this has escalated. But even like journalists and people who have been covering it are having a tough time, accepting this real, very real moment. But I think there's also a stern, strong commitment to the kind of work that has been done. And I really feel comfortable about the things I've said and spoken to, kind of like when you were referring to having been talking about this for a long time and seen this kinds of danger coming as a result, a sort of natural, logical extent. I think that it makes me feel really good for our collective freedom of speech, because those people that wanted to go into that Capitol wanted to put up another flag.
Yeah.
And they, like you were saying, we're literally beating people with our actual flag. And they wanted to replace the kind of free speech that allows us to have said what we've been saying, warning people and trying to be a counterpoise to lunacy. That kind of speech would have been replaced with what they approve of as, quote, free speech. That's the shame of Parler being called a free speech app. It's a hate speech app.
It was.
And that's
it,
the way it was. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm really proud that the institution stood and was not replaced by that. And I think that that fool me once, fool me twice thing is going to be a part of, again, I don't want to feed into imagination, but what this cause will be met with going forward.
It stood, it survived, but it almost was conquered because of the actions of Trump, because of him setting things up. Remember, he kicked out certain people and put stooges in their place, and they're the ones who prevented adequate law enforcement from being there. We all knew something was going to happen, and yet I think there were even less Capitol Police on duty than on a normal day. And insanity like that,
they were left hamstrung.
It was
intentionally.
That alone is a crime. That alone is sedition, I think. But we have to look at the actions of many people that are responsible, that bear more responsibility than the idiots who did the storming. George Irwin Jr., former Henderson County Sheriff, Henderson County's in North Carolina, he has rescinded his support for newly elected Representative Madison Cawthorn, saying Cawthorn's words played a role in the deadly riot that took place at the Capitol on Wednesday. Irwin was set to serve as Cawthorn's district director, but changed his mind after seeing the destructive storming of the Capitol. That's according to Blue Ridge Public Radio. Once a word leaves your mouth, you can't take it back in. And you can either incite or you can calm with the words you use. And I have seen no calming words, Irwin said. Bravo to you. Cawthorn spoke at the Stop the Steal rally prior to the insurrection at the Capitol, where he said, "This crowd has some fight in it. The Republicans hiding and not fighting. They are trying to silence your voice." And I'm kind of an offshoot of this. This is just, you know, again, icing on the cake. You already have people enabling these idiots to do things like this. But then, while people were hiding, while Congress people were hiding, some Republican lawmakers refused to wear masks. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And they're in a room with all of their colleagues. And they pick that as the time to say, no, I don't have to wear a mask. Well, Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey, Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington.
That's my state.
That's your state. Mm-hmm. And Brad Schneider of Illinois have announced their positive test results earlier this week. Coleman says, following the events of Wednesday, including sheltering with several colleagues who refused to wear masks, I decided to take a COVID test. I have tested positive. A statement from her office said that the congresswoman believes she was exposed during protective isolation in the U.S. Capitol building as a result of insurrectionist riots. As reported by multiple news outlets, a number of members within the space ignored instructions to wear masks. Jayapal tweeted, am I pronouncing that right?
Your yes.
Okay. Jayapal tweeted early Tuesday morning that she received a positive COVID-19 test result after being locked down in a secured room at the Capitol, where several Republicans not only cruelly refused to wear a mask, but recklessly mocked colleagues and staff who offered them one. CNN had previously reported that six House Republicans were captured on video refusing masks offered by a colleague during the U.S. Capitol insurrection. An aide told CNN that Watson Coleman was in the room in the secure location with the six conservative Republicans who refused to wear masks. Unfortunately, I received a positive COVID-19 test this morning following being tested yesterday on the advice of the House attending physician, Schneider said in a statement today. Last Wednesday, after narrowly escaping a violent mob incited by the President of the United States to attack the Capitol and its occupants, I was forced to spend several hours in a secure but confined location with dozens of other members of Congress. Several Republican lawmakers in the room adamantly refused to wear a mask. Today, I am now in strict isolation, worried that I have risked my wife's health, and angry at the selfishness and arrogance of the anti-maskers who put their own contempt and disregard for decency ahead of the health and safety of their colleagues and our staff. I am at least the third member from that room paying the price, including a 75-year-old cancer survivor. You know, there's no damn excuse for that. And today, I heard that Nancy Pelosi has instituted a $500 fine for the first offense for anybody who refuses to wear a mask, and that goes up to $2,500 for the second. And it's nothing to these people. They should be kicked out. They should be kicked out. It's disgusting. Can you imagine that? The place is being overrun by demonstrators, kicking in doors, vandalizing equipment, hunting down people, making staff hide in terror behind closed doors. And you can't even work together with your colleagues at that time in a global pandemic. You are not fit to serve, period. You're not fit to serve as anything as far as I'm concerned. Congress? No, not for you. You should have your ass kicked out.
Yeah, and it's like a double standard. Anybody who has a job that is saying, hey, you need to abide by these health guidelines so that we keep our customers safe and your colleagues safe, you know, if you didn't abide by that, you would probably lose your job. This isn't even that. It's just a fine, and all you have to do to go along with the guidelines that have been established for your workplace is put on a mask, and it's such a low cost to participate in the collective good. Well, and that sort of cynicism is killing people.
It makes no sense, because basically what we're dealing with here are people who, when they don't like the facts, they just make up their own facts. You're seeing that with the election, where people didn't like the results, so they're making up a narrative saying the election wasn't fair. There's a lot of things you can say aren't fair. Voter suppression, definitely not fair. Having access to polling places, not fair. Having gerrymandering, certainly not fair. But you can't argue with the numbers when they've been checked, double-checked, appealed, and confirmed. You can't argue with the numbers when 60 different judges have said, there's no case here. You can't argue with the results when election officials in all 50 states agree on the results for their states. You basically are making it up at that point. And yeah, you can say the election's in dispute. Yeah, it's in dispute because a bunch of idiots are saying it's in dispute. That's the only reason it's in dispute. It's not because of any facts. It's not because of any evidence. And you know what I love here is that when you ask for the evidence, they say, well, the court refused to see the evidence. No, they didn't. You didn't have any evidence, which is why your case was thrown out. But you know what? I'll humor you. Show me the evidence. Show the people the evidence. Oh, no, we can only show the evidence in court. Well, you're not in a court anymore. You're done. So either you show the evidence or you shut up. Well, they're not shutting up. They're just continuing to say these fictions. And it's gotten to the point where even conservative radio networks have to say, if you start spreading lies on the air by saying this is a contested election, by saying it's not over, you're going to be fired. That's conservative radio saying that. Radio is very powerful. We take it very seriously here at WUSB. And you only have to look at places like Rwanda to see the power that radio can have in basically instigating violence, massacres. And don't say it can't happen here. Because spreading lies, spreading hatred, it's a very, very powerful, very ugly power that broadcasters have. And we do not have the right to do that. And you have to call it out whenever you see it. Question, absolutely, question everything. You know we do that. You know that's what we live for. But when we don't have facts, we don't have evidence, you know, you can't keep going. I get that there are people who aren't happy with the way things turned out, but guess what? That's how they turned out. And if you don't like that, well, look at the popular numbers. 7 million more people voted one way than the other. Okay, and the Electoral College. Are you saying both of those are wrong? You know, it's just ridiculous to even continue the conversation. And then you have the same thing with COVID-19, where I don't know where people think all these dead people are coming from. What, are we up to 350,000 now in this country? They wouldn't have died anyway. That's a fiction. Listen to the scientists. Listen to the hospital workers. Are they all part of a conspiracy? And not only here, but throughout the entire world? And what exactly is that conspiracy trying to do? Keep everybody inside? Boost the shares of Zoom? What's the end game here? I really want to know. What is this plot? What is this conspiracy that you think all of this is part of? For God's sake, people, wear a damn mask. It's not hard. And if you were doing that the whole time, guess what? This wouldn't be happening right now. It really wouldn't be. Now vaccines are starting to be available. This is a great thing. A true testament to what science can accomplish. But all these people who insist on fighting facts are going to make this as difficult as they possibly can. Well, we have to talk about the problem in our area, and that's Lee Zeldin. You know, we've been railing against him now for years, and now, finally, it seems people realize the menace that he is. That's our representative, our elected representative. And, hey, you know, we're not disputing that. We don't like that, the fact that he beat Nancy Gurov last year, you know, or Perry Gershon 2 years before that. Both of those people, much more qualified, much, much better representatives they would have been. But, unfortunately, Suffolk County, boy, we have a lot of work to do. You know, Suffolk County, I learned this the last couple of days. We are the biggest county in population in the country where Trump prevailed. Yeah. Suffolk County has this badge of honor. The most people in any county that Trump won. We're the biggest, number one. And I'm not surprised. You look around and you see all the ignorance, all the racism, all the hatred. But Lee Zeldin, he enables it. And he was one of those representatives who tried to overturn this election. I want to read you something. It's called the 14th Amendment, Section 3. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress, or elector of president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress, or as an officer of the United States, or as a member of any state legislature, or as an executive or judicial officer of any state, to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. Yeah. Read it and weep, Lee. You're guilty. You did it on C-SPAN. We all saw you. And now, there are protesters outside his office, as well there should be. Oh, and by the way,
what's the address?
Well, we put together a little website. We've been busy. If you go to usa.wtf, I'm not kidding, that is the URL, usa.wtf, you will see a comprehensive guide of all elected officials who attempted to overturn a legitimate election and engage in a coup against the people of the United States. They're also responsible for the violence unleashed in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, resulting in the deaths of 5 people. By spreading lies and whipping up hysteria, these congresspeople have created a very dangerous situation, and there is every indication they will do it again, given the chance. Fortunately, their attempts this time were thwarted, but they each remain in office for now. Until they all resign or are removed from the positions they hold, they will continue to pose a great threat to democracy. Remember, they all would have been fine with this election being overturned if they could have pulled it off. So, every single congressperson, senator, is listed here, and all of their contact info is listed here as well. So, who are we looking at? We're looking at Zeldin. Is that the person we're looking at right now?
Yeah, I think it's Z E L.
Yeah. No, oh, I got him. I got him here. Representative Lee Zeldin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. His Washington, D.C. office, 2441 Rayburn House Office Building, phone number 202-225-3826. But listeners here are probably more interested in the local address, 31 Oak Street, Suite 20 in Patchogue, phone number 631-289-1097. Feel like sending a fax? Does anybody still do that? Well, he's got a fax machine, so give it some action. 866, toll-free, no charge. 404-6613. Or if you're further east, he's got an office in Riverhead, too. 30 West Main Street, Suite 201. Phone number there, 631-209-4235. That's just Lee Zeldin. But he's our local representative. He's the enabler for all the garbage that we've seen in the past week. So focus the attention on him for here. If you're in other parts of the country, look up your representative, see if they were a part of this nonsense. Again, USA.WTF is the site. And as I mentioned, groups have been gathering outside his Patchogue office mostly, demanding both that Trump be impeached and convicted and that Zeldin be expelled from Congress following his vote against the certification of the Electoral College ballots. The group is Suffolk Progressives. They've organized a protest. And good to see.
They probably have the right idea.
I think they do.
Yeah. And so that information is USA.WTF for every state of the union, all 50 states. And
well, not all 50 states have representatives that did this, but all the representatives and senators are there.
All the states were checked, let's put it that way. And anyone who participated can be found here. And so draft up a letter, maybe your community, maybe you have an affinity group or a professional association. If this isn't the kind of conduct that's compatible with the society that you and your organization or friends and family are interested in, it might be a good time to send a brief letter, maybe a long letter, maybe several faxes, just anything that comes to mind that you can share from your thoughts and your responses and your reaction with our representation, so that they might be, at least aware and up to speed and more thoughtful going forward with their actions. And
I'd rather they be more thoughtful looking back on their careers, which have ended. I'd like that.
Yeah, that's, I think, also a very real possibility, but it's really just important to get them on record and to see where their thinking has arrived or not.
True. And again, that information can be used by anyone. You don't have to be on our side. You can be on the other side.
Ask
this questions. It's information. These are facts.
Yeah,
these are the ways that you contact these people. Now, we mentioned the progressive group. There's other groups out there. There's a group that you might have heard of called the Setauket Patriots. James Robitsek, it's R-O-B-I-T-S-E-K, in case I'm pronouncing it wrong. He is a leader of the pro-Trump group, the Setauket Patriots. His group sponsored 4 charter buses with 200 people, had another 100 members drive themselves to the rally. And James Robitsek is claiming that of all those people, 200 people, and 100 more driving themselves, 300 people, nobody did anything wrong. Nobody committed any crimes. No, absolutely not. We never got close to the building, he said. Really, James? You know what everybody do accounted for? All those people. Because that's a lot of people. I know when I lead a crowd of 300 people, I sometimes lose track of what some of them are doing. Especially if they're riled up and, you know, got all those signs and flags and
gas masks.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. Not sure you can say it. I know you want to say that. I know you really wish that you aren't culpable in any way, but I got to say, you're in this up to your eyeballs. And I think many of us agree. Facebook, for instance, got your asses kicked off of Facebook. The page for Setauket Patriots was deleted. Yeah. According to this story, you guys sent 4 busloads, yeah, okay, that's what I said before, 4 busloads to the rally or riot or whatever it is that that you want to call it.
Insurrection.
The Setauket Patriots have posted on Facebook images shared of the storming of the Capitol saying, "We were here." So you showed a picture of the Capitol being stormed, said, "We were here." Later deleted that, but you know we can always find it again. And we did. And now you want us to believe you had nothing to do with it. Yeah, I don't think anybody is really that naive. Facebook removed the Sataka Patriots account around the same time that the social media giant banned Trump's account indefinitely, permanently. These things, these acts are not censorship. Those of you saying this is censorship, you need to look up what censorship actually is. You can say whatever you want. You have freedom of speech. You can say all the things that we hate, but when you say things that are not true, when you say things that incite all kinds of actions, well, then there's consequences to what you say. You know? It's not hard to realize this. Censorship is when that right is taken away. When you can't even say the words at all. And the government is responsible for that. You know, saying that you're not allowed to criticize the government, for instance. Well, you're certainly allowed to criticize. But if you go around spreading lies, then you might find yourself kicked off of certain forums. By those forums who basically run the forums because they own it. It's kind of like the free enterprise system, which usually you guys are all for.
The market decides.
Sure does. And that's one of the good things about all this is that, you know, we say that Twitter, we say that Facebook, we say that Google, they all kicked these people off. No, they didn't. They it took them forever to move their asses. Forever. The reason this happened now is because we're fed up. The people are fed up. They're hearing our voices. They're seeing our outrage. They're realizing that if they don't do something, we're going to do something, and it's going to hurt them. So, credit where credit is due. This is people power. And these idiots have finally met the people and realized they're not the same. They're not us. So, Sataka Patriots are still active in a private Facebook group, and on, you know, I think this might be outdated, and on Parler, because Parler no longer is even reachable, I don't think. Interesting. You know, I made an account on Parler a couple of weeks ago, just because I wanted to see what it was like. It got deleted. They deleted my account, and I didn't even post anything in it. I tried accessing it before everything went away, and
What kind of name did you use? You don't have to tell me exactly.
No, I basically said Emmanuel Goldstein from 2600, so I was honest about what I represented.
Transparent, okay.
Maybe somebody saw that, didn't like it, and deleted it for that reason. And I was using the same account, same password. It was saved on my browser. I had used it before, so it's not like I forgot it or anything like that. The other thing is that my password was a really horrible insult directed at them.
Is that something you can say on the
no,
air?
It's no, it's not at all.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd be taken away if I said. But no, the thing is, it wasn't a nice thing to say. But I always do that with my passwords. I always try and make it as horrendous as possible. Because if somebody gets upset, then I know that my password is compromised and that somebody is able to look at it. So is that what happened? You know, I don't know. It's entirely possible. So, yeah, they're basically being kicked off, and rightfully so, because they incited so much of this garbage, and there are consequences. There are consequences for this. These groups will continue to exist, though, in one form or another. We'll talk more about the technical part of all this, the internet part on tomorrow night's show on BAI.
I think it's important to be positive and appreciate some of the really inspiring and heroic behavior that has come out of this. And also, I just feel that we have to listen to the threats that are out there and be aware that at the capitals, if anything does happen, people may have to stay inside. You know, you may have to basically, if the capitals are fortified, activity might happen in neighborhoods. I mean, that's the kind of horror that I think people are going through right now, realizing that if this is if this cause is allowed to continue at all in any way, shape, form, or fashion, really a lot of innocent people are going to be affected by it, and the country itself will not stand for that. And we need to listen to the kinds of things these people say and take them very seriously, but also realize that they're victim of their own delusions, and in many ways they don't really realize some of the things. Some of the things they think about liberals or their enemies are not necessarily true, that they are weak or that they will not defend themselves or this country or one another.
Oh, they will. They won't do it the same way that you believe you're defending your rights or your beliefs. You've seen the defense. You've seen the cost, the tremendous cost to that other side, as technology has been used against them. And, you know, it's interesting. Being part of the USA.WTF site, we had to go through almost every Twitter feed for every member of Congress. And the ones that are on that page, the ones that are listed, they almost all did the exact same thing. They expressed shock and sadness at the death of the Capitol Police officer, almost word for word. So funny. And then they expressed outrage at the censorship being implemented by Twitter against the president. You know, that is their main concern, that he no longer has a mouthpiece on this private company.
They went to an irrelevant playbook.
Mm-hmm. I might have that wrong. Private company, public company. It's a commercial establishment. They can do what they want.
Private platform.
Yeah. So this is what you are going to be seeing as far as the rewriting of what went on. I was kind of surprised, very surprised actually, to see how many people referred to this properly, domestic terrorism. It fits the definition. I think even Ted Cruz said that. Wow. Okay. And people are starting to get it. That's a good thing. But you're going to see that narrative start to change. You're going to see them start to push back and make counter arguments and rewrite history and come up with their alternative facts. Don't let them. I want to read you something. A theoretical paragraph from the future. Donald Trump, once the demigod of the reactionary extremists, was released on parole from imprisonment and immediately left on a plane to Mar-a-Lago. He looked a much sadder and wiser man today than last spring when he, along with some of his cohorts, appeared before a federal court charged with conspiracy to overthrow the government. His behavior during imprisonment convinced the authorities that, like his political organization, known as MAGA, they were no longer to be feared. It is believed he will retire to private life. Wouldn't you like to believe that? Well, that actually was a paragraph printed in 1924, but I'll read you the real words this time. Adolf Hitler, once the demigod of the reactionary extremist, was released on parole from imprisonment at Fortress Landsberg, Bavaria today, and immediately left in an auto from Munich. He looked a much sadder and wiser man today than last spring, when he, along with his cohorts, appeared before a Munich court charged with conspiracy to overthrow the government. His behavior during imprisonment convinced the authorities that, like his political organization, he was no longer to be feared. It is believed he will retire to private life and return to Austria. Let's not make the same mistake again, where we think the threat is over when it's not. You can write to us here at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com. Please, want to hear your thoughts, your opinions. As we close today, we recognize a giant here at WUSB known as Workhorse. Did the Monday morning show for ages, one of the most popular shows that we had. Boy, I got to tell you, you don't realize the giants that work in this place sometimes until something tragic like this happens. How amazing. So there's some real chuckleheads too, but that's a talk for another time. But there are some truly incredible people. This guy, he was in a band. Madonna was the lead singer. He quit because he disagreed with the creative direction that Madonna had. So Bon Jovi opened for him once and wound up with a record deal, which less said about that, the better. Played CBGBs, hung out with Amy Winehouse, Moby, Joan Jett, Iggy Pop, you name it. This guy, he lived the life. He lived the life, and we're honored that he chose to spend so much of it with us here at WUSB. He even hung out with the Hansons and taught us that they were so much more than a teeny bopper group. Yeah. So, wherever you are now, Workhorse, I hope that you got some good tunes going. I know you certainly played many of them here on WUSB. We're going to go out with a piece from the WUSB CD, known as Not Just Another Pretty Face. A piece called Do the Tong, where Workhorse is doing vocals and drums, because he was an incredible drummer. We will see you next week, and stay tuned for Finn coming up. Good night.
See you in the future.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.